I think it is just like everything in the world. When we see change or when we're experiencing change, there's this massive gap, right? If you look at, I'm sure if you ask Bill Gates this question many, many years ago, or Steve Jobs many, many years ago, they would hopefully say the same things, is that there's a big shift because there's an opportunity now. I don't think, 5 to 10 years ago, there wasn't an opportunity.
Hi there, welcome back to the Business Side of Fitness. This is your host, Vanessa Severiano. Each week on the show, we'll highlight fitness industry experts to learn about their personal journey and unique perspective. Through these conversations, we'll learn all about what it really takes to succeed in fitness. This show is brought to you by Vanessa Severiano, LLC, specializing in fitness and wellness business development for impactful brands. The time has come to start the show. Everyone's got a story, and now it's time to hear from this week's guest. Let's welcome to the show, Jonathan Freeman. He's the founder and CEO of Club Active, founded in 2017 with the purpose of changing the way we age. Club Active is a chain of wellness centers dedicated to the 50 and over population. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Thank you, Vanessa. Really excited to be here.
I am so excited to dive in because one of the things that really interests me is audience development for the fitness industry. And I feel like a lot of times we're missing out on huge audiences, and you seem to have tapped into this demographic. So I'm really excited to learn more about Club Active and tap into your expertise. Just to kick things off, why don't you give the audience a bit about your background and what ultimately led you to found Club Active?
Yeah, sure. I think it's definitely the age-old question of how we have been able to tap into this over 50s market. I think, the fitness industry is definitely, they're definitely seeking the questions of how we sort of work with the over 50 space. So we're going to have a great chat, I think. But look, my background is I'm an exercise physiologist, so a Bachelor of Exercise Science and Nutrition and a Master's degree in Exercise Rehabilitation. So in Australia, exercise physiology is seen under an allied health banner. So therefore, we are able to bill under the public health system, which is Medicare here in Australia. We are able to provide rebates for private health insurance. And there's other sort of forms of government funding that really supports exercise physiologists to support people with chronic health conditions or people who, ultimately want to exercise with a little bit more clinical advice. So that's how I started. I started Club Active. My journey to get to where I am at the moment was, it started really simply. I actually had a clinic inside of a commercial gym. So I'm sure you guys have them over there in America where you've got a lot of, I think the ATI physical therapy does a lot of stuff through the LA Fitness brand. And it's a very similar concept to what I had here in Australia. So I had a clinic operating inside a commercial gym, and I had the clinic operating for about 4 or 5 years, where I would see a lot of people that would come into me to try and get some exercise advice on their health conditions. And what I soon realized is I actually didn't see a lot of actual gym members. A lot of the people that were coming in to see me were in the 55 plus age group with chronic health conditions. So, a cardiovascular disease, diabetes, heart, all of those things that we tend to see in the over 50s demographic. And the first Club Active really opened or was founded on the premise of just being able to create a safe and fun, non-intimidating environment with some clinical health advice for this very special population that a lot of people haven't been able to crack. So that was in 2017. We set up our first club, and then we've since opened another 7 clubs. And then we've got on track for another 18 clubs over the next sort of 2 years here in Australia. And then looking into the international expansion, probably at the end of 23, sort of start of 24.
Wow, it's so interesting. And it's honestly very refreshing to hear that exercise physiologists are able to bill through insurance and public health, because that's not the case necessarily here in the US. And I feel like that really legitimizes the offering and the service. There is some physical therapy here that is billable through insurance, but it seems, you know, very challenging. And so with your upcoming international expansion, how do you plan on navigating those waters?
Yeah, great question. I think that the most important part of what Club Active does around its mission, its purpose is to obviously provide these safe, fun and non-intimidating environments with clinical health advice. So we're obviously going to be looking for a partner over there who understands the insurance space. And the other part of what we bring and the value that is currently in Club Active is the intellectual property of our programming. So as we deal, and this is how I explain Club Active to a lot of people who ask, is we are, what we've done is we've taken the fitness business model and merged it with a demographic that is largely catered for in the medical space. So if you think about it, fitness is always down one end of the spectrum, and then medical is always down the other end of the spectrum. And if you put something in between, you generally come up with an age group, right? And that's the over 50s. The over 50s is there's this gross amount of people who want to exercise. They want proper health advice on their exercise, but they don't want to feel like they're in a fitness setting with their son or daughter, or even grandson or granddaughter in some cases. And they also don't want to feel like they're in a clinical setting with blood pressure cuffs on and stethoscopes on and there because they have to do it, or else they're going to, you know, pass away. So I think that's the value of the brand position, is we are creating that safe, fun, non-intimidating environment with some classes that really support the health needs of the 50s. I think that in itself is universal to the mission of what Club Active is, being able to change the way we age and provide that environment for people to just make sure they're doing the right thing for them. I think that's really important to understand, is that's what we are about more than anything.
And so what type of marketing messaging are you crafting to resonate with this different type of audience?
Look, I think you would know it as well as any of us, is the a lot of the success of a lot of the really good fitness brands in the world is based on community, right? You know, it's all about building community of like-minded people who, for us, it's want to exercise in a safe, fun, non-intimidating environment with some clinical health advice. And get involved with the social aspect of what it means to be healthy. I think for too long, the over 50s hasn't had the opportunity to be in such an environment. I think if you think about it, especially here in Australia, the over 50s demographic has always been able to go to a golf club or a bowls club or a social club that is generally influenced by alcohol and some sort of, you know, unhealthy lifestyle choices. So as Club Active stands for, you know, that active club for the over 50s to be able to do some of those similar social things that they would do in normal clubs, but have that sort of element of active lifestyle about it. So we do a lot of, we have this thing that we run across the clubs called Wellness Wednesday, which is basically an active aging education session every once a month on different topics. And so it just gets the community involved. Facebook is a really big lead generator for us. So 48% of Facebook users are actually over the age of 50, and 38% of YouTube users are also in that age group. So just, I guess, for all of the listeners out there looking to crack this market, is, you know, don't be scared to go mainstream, because a lot of people think that these baby boomers and this active over 50s market is not as tech savvy as some of the younger market. But let me assure you, you know, with the QR codes and the scanning and the COVID era that we've had around tracking, you know, the baby boomers have really stepped up in terms of their tech savviness. And from our standpoint, the content that really gets these guys engaged is the emotive aspect of changing the way you age. And I think, you know, not only are we about to see a huge boom in over 50s exercise, we're about to see an even bigger boom in the longevity market. I think, you know, we've got this, there's a lot of cosmetics, you know, that there's a huge market in cosmetics, but, you know, we're going to see individual programming for nutrition, which I'm sure you guys already see in the American market. It's going to be, you know, we know the impacts of contrast therapy, the impacts of sleep on our DNA, and how things can help, you know, change the way we age in different ways as well. So, look, I think to answer your original question, is a lot of it stems around getting them to understand what happens if they don't do this. because that's what it is, right? It's, you know, sarcopenia, loss of muscle mass with age, which most people don't understand, is probably more important than the impact of osteoarthritis or osteoporosis on our aging sort of body. You know, the impact of strength training on dementia, which is the single best exercise to help, you know, the early onset of Alzheimer's and dementia, is actually strength training. You know, just getting these people, it's a very valid market. And this is where, because a lot of people see what we're doing and they're like, oh, wow, great market, great this, great that. But what they don't understand is it's a very valid market that isn't adopted to buying fitness. And that's been the biggest challenge for us is, you know, any person who comes in and operates a brand in an existing adopted market, if you think, you know, McDonald's, KFC, Burger King, all of those brands are sort of in an adopted market. Whereas we've got a really nice niche, but we're sitting in a market space where we really need to educate this demographic, and that drives a lot of our content.
Right. And it's explaining the value of strength training, the value of working with a professional and not just going at it on your own. And when I think of, you know, in the fitness industry, I feel like we take huge swings on the pendulum, right? We've got like a Barry's boot camp that's like very sexy, very attractive, people marketing, hardcore, kind of setting the vibe of like, you know, you want to be ripped and have these abs and do this HIIT training. And then on the opposite end of the pendulum is like the counterculture, Planet Fitness, like we're serving, you know, junk food at the front desk, the clunkometer or whatever it is. And so when we're trying to tap into these, you know, these new audiences and these new demographics, are you using language around alleviating pain? Are you using language around just like daily activities and being able to feel better in your body? Like, what is it that's really resonating with this audience from your experience?
I think the big thing to understand is over the age of 50, between 50 and 90, you've got probably three different generations within there, right? So you've got the 55 to 65 year old, and then you've got, you know, 55 to 70 year old largely, which is the active baby boomer, which is our space. And then from there, you've got the 70 to 85 and then 85 plus. And each of the markets definitely have different things that resonate with them when it comes to content. Our core group is the active baby boomer, so 55 to 70. They are a little bit more educated. They also understand the business a little bit more, that, you know, direct debits and credit cards are a thing, and you can't just pay cash for everything like maybe the older market. So it is from a content standpoint, it is definitely changing the way you age as a preventative health measure, which is also the opportunity in that 55 to 70 year old market, because they're seeing their kids do a lot of exercise. Their kids are also big influencers of their parents at that age. They've also seen what their parents have been or not been. You know, that 85-year-old market of a parent, which is a parent of a baby boomer. Sorry if that made sense. So we've got a really good opportunity in this baby boomer space to say, hey, look at what your mum didn't do, and you could be that if you don't do this. And then we're also got a lot of marketing that goes out to people my age. I'm 35. I'm the son of a baby boomer. You know, a lot of marketing that goes out to people like me saying, hey, you want your mom to age better, or you want your dad to age better, here's a space for them that you know is safe and comfortable and non-intimidating for them. So yeah, look, it's definitely been a challenge. You know, sometimes the old school things of throwing it on the TV and radio and print also still works. But at the same time, I think, you know, everybody in the world is way more tech savvy than they have been ever, thanks to COVID. And so yeah, using the normal channels like Facebook and YouTube are very fruitful for us still.
What's medical grade gym equipment, and how does that differ from traditional equipment that you might buy from a common supplier?
So most common suppliers actually would have a medical grade certification on their equipment. The difference is no one's really sat in this medical space before. So we use it as a marketing tool, obviously. So we have adjustable cranks on our bikes, for example. So adjustable cranks just help people with hip or knee replacements or hip or knee dysfunction, who can't get full flexion of the knee or full hip flexion, hip extension on a bike. You know, things like that, long handles on treadmills just to support them in and out of a treadmill. Everything's rear accessible. So our cross trainers don't have the back of them on the, it's just a rear access that just that you can jump on and do it. It's just probably a safer way of using equipment, to be honest. So we partnered with Technogym, as you would know. Technogym is a very progressive thinking company when it comes to the medical space and the wellness space. So we've got a really great relationship and partnership with those guys, where we have set up our own exercise prescription platform in the back house of, you know, of our infrastructures that really help us support program direction and program design and class design for our all of our members, which obviously has got a lot of connectivity with the equipment. So it's, you know, when we talk about medical grade equipment, we're talking about all of the extra additive things that might help somebody feel a little bit more supportive in this type of environment.
Why do you think there is such a huge blue ocean between the medical world and the fitness world? And why aren't more businesses trying to connect the two?
Great question. You didn't ask me this question before you pressed record. It's a phenomenal question, actually. And I think it is just like everything in the world. When we see change, or when we're experiencing change, there's this massive gap, right? If you look at, I'm sure if you ask Bill Gates this question many, many years ago, or Steve Jobs many, many years ago, they would hopefully say the same things, is that there's a big shift because there's an opportunity now. I don't think, you know, 5 to 10 years ago, there wasn't an opportunity. I don't think the demographic, and I can only talk to the Australian market, is the Australian market has now got so in Australia, right, for the last, I don't know, I'm going to say 35, 40 years, we've had a thing called superannuation, which I'm pretty sure is the 401k in America. So for the last 30 years, the baby boomers is the first generation of people to come through as retirees, where both mum and dad have worked with a superannuation or with a retirement package. So there lies the opportunity from a wealth status standpoint, is these people are willing to pay for their health and preventative health. Whereas I think previous generations prior to those guys, is there just wasn't a big enough focus on their own health. And there was a lot of direction from the local medical doctor. You just have to take this medication and that'll decrease your blood pressure or your cholesterol reading or whatever it may be. And that generation definitely held GPs in high regard. And I'm not saying we don't hold GPs in high regard, but I think there's just a bigger opportunity now that people in this baby boomer space, it's all of the stars are aligning, is they've got the money to spend on preventative healthcare. They don't want to be in a gym with their sons. They don't want to see what they don't want to do what they watched happen to their mum and dad. And they're asking questions about their health, as well as they want to connect, right? This demographic, more than any demographic in the world, really want to connect with each other, because, you know, they're the people that drive in Australia. They're the people that drive a lot of the volunteer work. There are people that drive a lot of the club work. They're the people that are part of these community organizations. And these are the people that love community. And it's just in my honest opinion, it's just a perfect storm for the fitness industry to take advantage of it. And as I say, you know, like, I think for so long, we just thought that, you know, you go and exercise at a medical facility to do what you need to do and then leave. And that's, you know, that's largely what happens in the Australian healthcare system, is people go to the hospital to, you know, they have a heart attack, they go to the hospital, they do their 6 weeks of rehabilitation, and they go home and sit on the lounge. It's like, well, what's the point? You know, we just have to educate this demographic that, you know, this is an ongoing thing. Exercise is not something that you just do for 6 weeks and you know, your heart's a little bit better because you take all these pills now. So as I say, I think that the big opportunity is just the timing of it all. You know, similar to the boutique fitness space here in Australia, I'm sure you would know the F45 model really well. They just took a great advantage of a time when boot camps were being done outdoors and the market adopted to paying $50 a week in a CrossFit box. And they just, you know, really scooped up that market and penetrated it really well. So sorry, I don't know if that answered your question, but I think it's all just timing. It's a really tough question, Vanessa. And yeah, as I say, I think I'm really excited by the space. I think it's just, as I say, it's just really about how Club Active, you know, continues on its mission, because that's what it is. The sustainability of our brand is going to be purely based on the mission and the purpose that we are who we are for the reasons that we are, not because we want to penetrate 400 sites in Australia and 3,000 sites in America and 4,000 through Europe and get huge market penetration. We will get that in time, but it's all about purpose and mission, because we know as our brand continues to grow and evolve, we're going to get a lot of really educated people that buy fitness through our brand, you know, and we might be evolving into having, you know, saunas and contrast therapy. And as the research evolves into the longevity space, you know, we'll probably end up sort of being a space where people can come to, you know, that allows them to even further change the way they age. So yeah, I think, as I say, that's where I see the future and the opportunity.
Right. I think there's a lot of opportunity to not only cater to this type of clientele, but any clientele from a fitness perspective, but then into a wellness perspective as well, really providing more of a holistic approach. Here in the US, I think it's just, there's so much bureaucracy because fitness professionals are not necessarily seen as legitimate compared to the recognition that you have from the government as being exercise physiologists in Australia. And I think here in the US, people work with a physical therapist to fix a problem, like you were saying. And then once that problem is, you know, quote unquote, fixed or solved, then they go right back to whatever they were doing before. And sometimes that leads to additional problems or that problem coming back. But everybody's scratching their head as like, hey, why aren't we really making an impact on population health, right? I wonder why. Jonathan, as an exercise physiologist, you know, tapping into this 50 and over population, are there certain modalities that Club Active stays away from or leans into heavily? Like, for example, is Pilates a big aspect of your service that you provide?
Yeah, great question. The focus for Club Active is more around the health needs of the over 50s market as opposed to modalities. I think that's, in my honest opinion, it's a dangerous position for us to get ourselves into certain modalities, because as a brand and purpose and mission is about changing the way you age. And I think lots of modalities are great for lots of different people and lots of different things. But the pillar for us is around being the solutions to the health needs of the over 50s, or having solutions to the health needs of the over 50s. So strength training is a big thing for us. I think that's universal. Like when you look at universal healthcare or fitness, it's strength training, cardiovascular health, right? That's what everything's measured on. It's not whether you do strength training with Pilates or a kettlebell or a barbell, or you do your cardiovascular in a boxing class or a HIIT class or a treadmill, whatever it may be. We're really focused on the solutions, you know. So what are these people coming in to get us to address their health needs, and what are those solutions that we can provide? So the thing for us is we're always surveying our members to get that understanding of what it is that they really need help with. And I think you could probably attest to this, and most people in the fitness industry can, is no matter who you are, at what age, and generally it is more over the age of 50, you've got some sort of niggle or injury or genetic predisposition, or you've got something going on where you're like, is this really the right thing for me? And that's what we are trying to do so much of, is going, well, you know, you've had a heart attack, you're 6 weeks post coronary bypass, like coronary artery bypass graft times four or whatever it may be. We recommend that you do our Boom Baby Bus class, which is an upper body strength class, which is a low intensity class to get you started. Now, we don't call it a cardiovascular rehabilitation program, but it is, in a nutshell, you know, it's marketing 101, and I'm giving away a little bit of our intellectual property here, but it's okay. There's a big enough market for us all to succeed in. But yeah, you know, it's just about making a cardiac rehab program fun. You know, like it's not really that hard. It's not really rocket science. It's just the science exists. You've got to do A, B, and C, and X, Y, and Z through phase four cardiac rehab or phase five or whatever it may be before you get into back into quote unquote normal exercise. But it's how do you package it, right? It's like anything. How do you package an indoor boot camp? You can call it F45, you can call it BFT, you can call it Barry's, you can call it Orange Theory, call it what you like, right? It's an indoor boot. And I mean that with complete respect to those brands that have done so well, but it is really about how we sort of promote what we do for these people.
That makes so much sense, right? Because a part of the experience is what keeps people coming back. And when you're in a clinical setting that's kind of stale and dry, it's not very motivating to want to keep up this activity or keep going back, you know, creating that experience for people. I think we need to remember that, hey, just because somebody is 50 and older and doesn't want to listen to blasting music doesn't necessarily mean that they are not the right audience to reach out to become a member of the health club. So from a staffing perspective, since you have this higher credential required as being an exercise physiologist, is it difficult to staff your locations? Because staffing is an issue that I think a lot of us are facing right now with the great resignation. And I just love to understand how that is working for you.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's a universal problem, right? The thing for us early on in the piece is we really struggled to get the financial model right. I mean, I can say this on a fitness business podcast because we really needed to get this, the financial model right at scale. And we didn't for the first couple of years. Definitely not. And that was the beauty of being in the startup position, right? Is all these things that you learn along the way. And now there's other challenges that people want coming and going. I think the hardest thing for us is that we're paying professionals. And so therefore, again, we're talking about a very valid market, but not a market adopted to paying $40 or $50 a week in fitness. They'll pay it for rehabilitation. But if we're repackaging rehabilitation to be sexy, fun, non-intimidating, and be in a fitness space, people still have to pay that same amount. So that's been probably the single biggest, hardest thing for me. And that's probably says a lot about what it is that we've been doing or trying to do, is that, you know, just getting this market to adopt that these people are professionals. They've got 4 and 5 year university degrees and they are very highly trained in delivery of exercise to support you and your needs. So that's been very difficult for us. Moving forward, we have a structure. It's a joint venture model. We've basically got a clinic partner, a capital partner, an operating partner. So we're creating partnerships within clubs. It supports us from a capital standpoint, also supports the, you know, the best way to operate the business or operate the clinic or operate the clubs. However, we may sort of be sort of skinning the cat on that one. But look, I think the thing about the staffing issue in the world is we really, and this is one thing that, you know, we've really been trying hard to work on, is we really need to show these people what value they bring to the members and how valuable they are in the bigger picture of what Club Active is going to be. I mean, we've got probably a better opportunity to do that than the local independent club down the road that's trying to do the same thing, because we have got opportunities for people to grow within in our space. But I think, you know, I think it comes back to that value proposition, right? Is I think so many of us, and, you know, I think we're all guilty of it, is we don't really look at value in a non-tangible way. I think all of us look at value as a, you know, take a gym membership, for example, you know, Snap Fitness down the road is doing $9.95, YU $39.95, you know, like, well, that's a complete comparison of an apple and an orange. You know, we're completely different. And the service value, the relationship value, and the personal value in a Club Active versus maybe the tangible value in a Snap Fitness is completely different. And I think that's the big thing with staffing, is what is it that your staff or your team want and see value in your brand and the growth opportunities within it. And that's probably the best way that I can foresee overcoming this staff shortage is and how we to retain our best staff.
Right. And I feel like if somebody has gone above and beyond to invest in their education, then they must want to see a return on that education. And so that's kind of the quandary that fitness business owners are in, because we want to make profits, we want to make margins, but at the same time, we want to attract this professional staff. And that means that oftentimes we're going to have to pay them more. And so I think, you know, I give you a lot of credit for not sacrificing on that quality and staying true to your mission and vision, even though that can be very tempting to say, hey, well, I'm more profitable if I hire somebody that just got, you know, a certification. And I think that's something that a lot of owners grapple with.
For sure. I think it's really easy to do, but we're sort of fortunate is that the pillars of our business is based on the health needs of the over 50s, right? So we can, there's just no sacrifice that we can make when it comes to the quality of our staff and our, you know, exercise prescription or class prescription.
So was your business, Club Active, impacted more so than other fitness businesses by COVID? Because of the older population, I feel like there was so much press and media going out saying, oh, the older population, that's who's at higher risk. And I feel like a lot of those people actually suffered because they were operating from fear and not going into health clubs and exercising. And I'm just wondering if you found that to ring true at Club Active.
Yeah, yes and no is probably the best way to answer that. Is yes, the consumer confidence was the biggest hit to us. Is not so much the fact that we had a lot of COVID in this part of Australia that we're in. You know, we're not in Victoria. So Melbourne was the most shut down city in the world. I'm sure everybody heard about Melbourne, Australia. And we're not in Melbourne. We're in New South Wales and Queensland states, which is a little bit north of Melbourne. So, you know, from a lockdown impact, we were okay because... So when we look at our revenue split per club, we split our revenue into gym and clinic. So the clinic sessions still happen with non-gym members. So we've got gym members and then we've got non-gym members as well. And non-gym members might be people who are in there just to get an exercise program to go away and do by themselves or whatever it may be. And they might be billed under the public health sector or private health insurance, whatever it may be. So fortunately for us, the Australian government said that medical services were deemed essential services and can continue to operate. So we continued to operate 50% of our clinic, 50% of our revenue. So we were fortunate in that sense. But Vanessa, to be honest, it's only been the last month that I have actually felt, and our numbers have actually said the same thing that I've sort of thought, is that the last month has been the sort of the okay, COVID's over, we're back to the gym, especially our market. I mean, I think maybe the younger market might have happened earlier on this year, but I feel now it's definitely a thing of the past. And I think we've all learned a lot of lessons from it. And, you know, this whole omni-channel hybrid options and those sorts of things is definitely the way of the future in the fitness space. But look, the consumer confidence was the thing that killed us more than anything.
So you're working on a very lofty goal to open 5,000 clubs in the next 10 years. I'd love to learn how you plan on making that happen.
Yeah, great question. Another good question. Yeah, look, how we plan on making it happen is obviously to put in a set and forget policy here in Australia is that we have market. We get market penetration and the opportunity in Australia has already been sort of taken by us. And we sort of put everything in place to be able to grow the way that we want it to grow in the next couple of financial years. So that's the first thing. And then draw our attention to bigger, more adopted markets, which is North America. So the North American market for us is sort of a very in the foreseeable future, most definitely. The thing about the 5,000 sites is we know that 5,000 sites is very achievable, whether it happens in 10 years or 15 years. You know, the market, total addressable market right now is 1 billion people. You know, we're not even talking in the next 10 years as that sort of gets. By 2050, we're going to have, you know, 50% of the world over 60. So it's going to be a huge sort of, you know, 10, 20 years for this type of market. So look, I won't give away all my secrets about how we're going to make it happen, but we're definitely shooting for the moon. That's for sure.
I love it. It's been such a pleasure to connect with you and learn more about Club Active. If somebody wants to reach out to you, get in touch, or learn more about Club Active, how can they do that?
Yeah, look, you can follow us on any of our socials. So, you know, Club Active Australia is our Facebook page. That's probably the biggest one for us. As I say, you know, the 48% of Facebook users over 50. So we're very active on there. If they want to contact me, they can get in touch with me on LinkedIn. So Jonathan Freeman, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, and Freeman, F-R-E-E-M-A-N. And yeah, I can also, I'm sure you've got show notes in this, so I can pass on my email address as well.
Fabulous. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Vanessa.
Hi, everyone. This is your host, Vanessa Severiano. I have a huge favor to ask of you. If you found value in this episode, I'd love it if you would please subscribe, review, and share this episode. It would really mean so much to me. I truly love connecting with fitness and wellness experts. So if you'd like to be on the show or are looking for help in your business, definitely drop me a line and connect with me. You can find me at hello@vanessaseveriano.com or my social media handles. Since my last name is not the easiest to spell, I'm going to go ahead and make it really easy for you and link my contact details in the show notes. Thanks again for listening. Catch you on the next episode.